Truth with Benito Vergatini. Smile 90.4 FM.
Reducing red tape, specialized visas, and a review of labor market regulations. These announcements by President Cyril Ramaphosa in his annual State of the Nation address are only a start in creating a business environment in which South African startups can thrive. To unpack this for us is the chairperson of the steering committee at the Startup Acts, Matsi Modise. Ms. Modise, good evening and thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening and hello to your wonderful listeners.
So, Ms. Modise, how will reducing red tape then assist startups?
Well, we talk about having to revive our economy, and what's going to revive our economy is a buoyant startup ecosystem of high impact, high growth, technology driven entrepreneurs that want to stay in South Africa, that want to contribute towards the economic growth, that want to create innovations that make us globally competitive. So if you reduce the ability to start, grow and scale their businesses without having to actually not want to be in business because it's so cumbersome, I think it's important that we remove all the barriers for them to be able to succeed and to make us proud. So I think it's important that we acknowledge that sometimes we make it difficult for these startups to actually want to grow. And at the end of the day, they might say, well, I'm going to leave South Africa, or, you know, why should, let me just go back to corporate.
Matsi, are you able just to help us understand exactly what sort of the reform needs to take place from a startup point of view? What are the hurdles that you immediately encounter when entering the environment?
Well, it's very difficult to trade. It's very... there's a lot of compliance, you know, just registering yourself as a business and you are not turning over above, let's say, R1 million, because, you know, your company is geared to do that and to do more. There's a whole lot of compliance that you have to deal with. And, you know, it doesn't give you an incentive to want to grow. It doesn't give you an incentive to want to employ people and contribute towards job creation, because of all the trickery around it. I call it trickery because it's like such a game. It's such a gamble. At the end of the day, you want to wake up. You want to build a business. You want to empower yourself. You want to empower other people. Mm. But now you have to pay the price for it. An example is with Triple BEE. It's very, very important that we have Triple BEE for our ability to transform the nation, for our ability to ensure that we bring people into the economy, right? It's so important. But don't now, at a certain level, make it difficult for those people you're trying to empower, like, let's say, black startups. Now they have to, be verified. I mean, you are a black entrepreneur already, and you are, you know, building a business. Now when it's beyond a certain threshold, you have to pay the price of trying to contribute towards the economy. So those are some of the things that, not to remove them, but let's just make it practical. Let it be a win-win situation, because we understand what the government is trying to do, but don't make it difficult for those who are trying to make a change, trying to grow businesses, to actually want to do it. Because now, if I'm turning over more than 10 million rands in South Africa, I actually want to stay small, because once I turn over more than 10 million rands, I have to do a whole Triple BEE verification process. I have to, you know, invest money into enterprise development, supplier development. So I don't have an incentive to grow beyond 10 million rands. I'd actually rather be small, so that all I need to do is to get an affidavit that says I'm Triple BEE compliant. So that's just one primary example of, we understand the objective, the need for transformation, but don't make it difficult for people to want to, you know, to grow and go beyond 10 million rand and above.
How easy will it be to reduce these bureaucratic hurdles?
Well, you know, an example and some of the recommendations we put forward is just increase the threshold. So instead of, you know, by the time I am turning over 50 million rand as a South African business, it's quite a strong business, you know, and I'd probably be able to invest in supply development, enterprise development. I'd be able to contribute some money towards, CSI initiatives. But at 10 million, it's like you're still trying to find your seeds, right? And now I have to invest in all these very key components, but I can't afford it. Now, at the end of the day, it's going to reduce my ability to now grow my profits to increase my turnover, but also it's a disincentive for me to want to be turning over more than 10 million rand. So I think it's looking at what is tactical, reflecting on what are the current challenges. Because for me, if I have a company that wants to go beyond 10 million, it's like, I don't want to do that because, you know, it's really a bit of a disincentive. So if the government could increase the threshold and say, well, somebody who's turning over 50 million rands versus 10 million rands is probably in a better position to do certain things. So I think, you know, just look at what works and what doesn't work, and also listen to the people on the ground, because a lot of times, I feel that when the decisions are made, like let's make, a qualifying small enterprise be less than 10 million, and emerging medium enterprise more than 10 million, but between 10 million and 50 million. I think it needs to be from people that have run businesses and understand the cost of compliance. So engage more from the, you know, top, bottom, but like engage with people on the ground who are the beneficiaries, but also people that are impacted by some of the compliance that's out there.
Matsi Modise is chairperson of the steering committee at the Startup Act, joining us in conversation this evening on The Honest Truth, shedding light on the measures needed to improve South Africa's startup ecosystem. In that regard, Matsi, what role does the Startup Act play?
So we are a bunch of entrepreneurs, people that are supporting entrepreneurs, incubating, accelerating, funding. We're all about creating an ecosystem that helps entrepreneurs thrive, that high impact, high growth entrepreneurs thrive. So these are companies that, you know, are technology based, spend a lot of money on research and development, grow their businesses that will scale beyond the borders of South Africa and make us globally competitive when it comes to technology and innovation. And we feel that it is a huge gap because there's a lot of laws and regulations that support and empower other types of businesses, and there's nothing wrong with that, but for this sector that has the ability to really grow and scale, I mean, if you're looking at the likes of the Nestors, the likes of the Seedstars, the likes of the Go One, these are the companies that are building brands as some South African companies, right? So we feel that we need to create an enabling policy environment. And in essence, that's what the Startup Act is. A bunch of us, some of us are entrepreneurs. I'm equally an entrepreneur myself. Ben, I also do a lot of lobbying and advocacy around how do I contribute towards creating an enabling environment, but also understanding that I need to be part of the solution. So a lot of us entrepreneurs will stand on the fence and throw rocks at the government. But yeah, I understand that, you know, the solution is I'm also part of the solution, not the problem. So how do I work closely with the government and ensure that I contribute and give them real life experiences, but then also, you know, go beyond my day to day building a business, but saying like, okay, how do I advise and engage the government in a manner that they will then understand from my mouth, this is what my challenges are, but collectively, how do we fix it?
And a voice from the industry is certainly invaluable. Matsi, in terms of the startup visas, how will they be able to contribute towards a more enabling environment?
So South Africa already has a business visa, but there's not much visibility. It's very difficult for attracting international talent that wants to come into South Africa, that wants to, you know, give us skills, that wants to be able to share some knowledge, that wants to bring in investments. So with the currently existing business visa, it's not attractive. That's why countries like Mauritius are attracting, a lot of countries, it's like, be South African and I want to start a company, a technology-based company. Chances are I will not register the company in South Africa. I'd rather go to Mauritius. Like, I'd rather go to Denmark. I'd rather go to the UK. So we need to make it more attractive for our local and international talent to want to be in South Africa, because also my ability as a South African entrepreneur to attract, international skills is very, very difficult. So it is very, very exciting when the president announced that, you know, they will be looking into a startup visa, because we already do have a business visa, which doesn't have much visibility, but also understanding the different components to a business visa. And let's look at, the startup visa, which talks to high impact, high growth, technology-based companies that want to establish themselves here, but it's very, very difficult, very, very expensive, and there's not much clarity around the process of how long, how many of my business people will be in South Africa. So just you know, good thing about South Africa is that we have these things in place, but it's how do we refine them so that they make sense and they're practical and they're not creating more barriers for people to actually grow, you know, start, grow and scale their businesses.
Do you think it will also play a role in attracting investment, particularly backers for startups?
Absolutely. And there's a couple of things, like we had a what you call Section 12G, which is a incentive to invest in startup ideas. And it's something that we've had for a while, and then last year they decided that, you know, we're not going to do this as a government. For sure, it has been abused. There's a lot of people that used that incentive for other things instead of actually investing in startups. We understand that. But all we're saying is that instead of cutting it all together, refine it, close the gaps where people are able to take advantage of, you know, a well-meaning incentive so that we can encourage the day-to-day guy or venture capital companies to actually invest in startups, because there is a huge funding gap in South Africa. And also intellectual property-wise, if I'm an international investor, it's very, very difficult to get it out of South Africa. If I'm investing in a South African, you know, South African intellectual property, if I'm a foreign investor wanting to invest in a local IP business, it's going to be very difficult. It's very expensive. There's just a lot of layers. Unlike if I just register my company in Mauritius, it's more attractive, right? Because they are actively going out there to create a safe haven for entrepreneurs to grow, scale their businesses, because they give them adequate support, adequate incentives. There's enough money, and also for money to come in and come out, it's not too difficult for them to do that. So let's stop creating the barriers and the hurdles for our South African startups to be able to grow like the Nestors, to grow like the Go Ones and the Cheap South and the Yokos. You know, I'm name dropping a few names that a lot of us would be able to identify out there in the market. But companies like a Yoko, you know, if you had to look at the founders, I mean, these guys are not living in South Africa. They had to leave so that they can grow their businesses and attract international investors. The local investors were not necessarily giving them the necessary support, the necessary valuations that would want to get, unless, you know, of course, that's why they then had to go to other countries to be able to realize the value. So we are losing out on talent. We are not able to attract the necessary international talent. We are not able to invest in our own companies because you're not creating incentives. So I'm quite excited with the announcements. We have a long way to go. There's a lot more that can be done. But like I said, we have to work with the government. We can't just stand and say, hey, I'm leaving South Africa. It's like, no, I'm not leaving South Africa. I want to stay in South Africa, and how can I contribute towards finding the solution?
Are there any other measures that also need to be implemented, do you think, to improve the startup ecosystem?
Yeah, I think just now, having had conversations with the Office of the Presidency, we had a nice conversation with him in October, and he said, you know, South Africa is such an amazing country, and we all agree with that. And also, how do we gear ourselves to be a startup nation of the continent? I mean, countries like Kenya, countries like Nigeria are literally taking up all the investments globally. Every other week, you're hearing of a Nigerian unicorn, which is a company that's valued, you know, at $1 billion. These Nigerian and Kenyan companies that are really, really emerging. And the fear and fear of South African success stories, because it's very difficult as South Africans to be able to grow at that scale. So, yes, there is a political message around we need to be focusing on startups, because any contribution towards growing our economy is a contribution. And this is a sector that cannot be ignored, because this is a sector that within a period of 3 years, you know, you could literally grow and scale because you're utilizing technology, investing in a lot of research and development. So I like the political will. I like the fact that the president announced that we've got a Startup Act. A startup visa, and he likes the idea of having a startup act or legislation that talks to supporting small businesses. And we have been engaging them. So I'm quite optimistic, because now we're talking as one voice, not coming at too many voices, irritating the government. We actually say, guys, here we're coming as one big voice. We want to engage you. We want to help you find the solution.
And we certainly don't want the Yokos of the world going elsewhere, because I'm glad that you cited them as an example. I remember it was probably about 5 years ago when I spoke to the gents when they were just in the infancy, and look how much they've been able to grow and scale up in a relatively short space of time. So in terms of maintaining our own intellectual property and impacting and reducing unemployment, are there ways that we further assist startups to create this the meaningful employment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, so in terms of IP and retaining it in South Africa, because the last thing you want is to have great ideas that we in essence right now are the biggest accelerator of great ideas attracting international investors, but even our ideas are going outside South Africa. They're not registered in South Africa. It doesn't make sense for them to register because of things such as exchange control, you know. So some of the relaxations, you know, we start taxing IP related, we start, you know, the capital gains taxes. It's something that they do as you register your IP versus when now your IP actually has value and you'd be able to to actually get the country to be able to extract some taxes from something that actually has value versus when now it's just started and you're already charging. It's like, you know, when you register a company, you really need to file for SARS. Yes. And, you know, register for that if your, you know, turnover is more than $1 million. And so it's like, let's kind of just create a win-win situation where government won't be losing out on tax revenue, but also startups are not being penalized with at a point where they actually have not realized their actual value. Let's find a balance. You know, let's not remove things. Let's just refine things so that it does make sense for everybody. And be willing to listen to each other. I mean, we have been lobbying for a long, long time. And finally now we are engaging the relevant government, people within the government. But like, it's like, be open to listen versus no, we insist on this. Because if we continue as we continue, then South Africa will not grow. The economy will not grow at the rate that we want it to grow. And it will be such a pity. It would be such the greatest missed opportunity of our time.
Matsi Modise, Steering Committee Chairperson at the Startup Acts. Appreciate your time and your insights on this, Matsi. Thank you so much for being a part of the conversation tonight.
It's an absolute pleasure, and I'm happy to be part of the solution.
Speaking about the solution and the role that the Startup Acts will be playing, the president last week said, we are therefore working to improve the business environment for companies of all sizes through a dedicated capacity in the presidency to reduce red tape. If we are to make progress in cutting unnecessary bureaucratic delays for businesses, we need dedicated capacity with the means to make the changes, as Matsi had mentioned in our conversation. The reform needs to happen, and sooner rather than later. And in that regard, from a government point of view, Sipho Nkosi will be heading the team in the presidency dedicated to cutting red tape across the government. I did express to Matsi that's a little concerning, that yes, we want to get rid of red tape, but we created another layer of red tape around this. But possibly that's what needs to be done to expedite the process. The president also announced the review of the Business Act alongside a broader review of legislation that affects small, medium, and micro enterprises, just to reduce the regulatory burden. And we've seen the impact and the consequences of that with Matsi Modise sharing her perspective and insights. And I suppose echoing what the president said last week during SONA, there are too many regulations in the country that are unduly complicated and difficult to comply with, preventing companies from growing. And importantly, with growing, creating jobs. But let's see how quickly this happens. Time certainly cannot be wasted on this.
When it comes to the bedroom, there are some things you shouldn't do by heart.